instead of having your maximum amount of time on the planning commission be 8 years or 6 years, now it's up to 8 years. So I don't know if that's good or bad. I guess you'll have to decide.
You can always quit, right? If you
can always quit. That means we have to find new members though. So so 2 terms is the maximum. And then alternate members, if usually our alternate members move up as regular members fairly quickly, it seems. But an alternate member, there's really not a time limit. And so somebody could really, in theory, be an alternate member for a long time, as long as the city council never moves them up as a regular member. And your time as an alternate member doesn't count towards any term. So, right, any questions on that? I'll move forward. Mode of appointment and filling of vacancies. If a member moves out of Midway for more than 60 continuous days and the member's office is vacated. So, you know, it could be that you've got a second home somewhere and you leave for a while. Potentially, you could vacate your seat if you're gone for too long. Also, you could be moving homes in from one home in Midway to another and you end up in Heber or somewhere for more than 60 days. That could be a problem, too. So something that's just good to be aware of. If a member misses more than 25% of the PC regular meetings and the member's office is vacated, so we have 12 regular meetings. If you missed, you know, more than 25% of those, which is 3, then and potentially your seat could be vacated. It's really up to the mayor's discretion on that. Any member may be removed for cause by the mayor upon written charges and after a public hearing if such a hearing is requested. So if there were ever any charges brought up, you know, the decision was to remove somebody from the planning commission, that member of the planning commission could request a public hearing before that action actually is finalized. So that's a right that the planning commission would have if that, those were the circumstances. Article 4, authority and duties. So this covers really the charge of the planning commission, and what's laid out specifically in state code is the adoption of the general plan. That's your main job as a planning commission, is to develop the general plan. That's our guiding line for land use decisions. So that's the number one item listed in the bylaws. Number 2, adoption or amendment of land use ordinance, zoning maps, and other official maps. So we've got our land use ordinance, which is our Title 16 code. We've got the zoning map, and then we have other official maps, such as that master street plan we looked at last month, those types of items. So adoption of those main documents for the city is an important item for the Planning Commission. Then hear and make recommendations on other land use applications. So we have 2 examples tonight of the subdivision and then also the conditional use permit. So recommendations to the city council.
Zoning maps. Can we change the zoning requirements?
So requirements would be the code. So both of those can be changed, that's correct.
Okay.
So the Planning Commission can make a recommendation for change to the City Council, and they'd make a final decision. We do have limitations on some changes we can make. We're bound by case law, we're bound by state code. But yeah, generally, yeah, you can go in and change code and the zoning map, or at least make a recommendation for it to the City Council.
And how are these types of things normally initiated? Does it come from within the Planning Commission or someone like Paul?
So there's really 4 ways that can happen. One is anybody can apply for a zone map amendment or a zone code amendment. So that would be just a member of the public. There's an application we have on the wall outside our office. And so once somebody applies, we go through the process of going to the Planning Commission and City Council. So that's one, is just a resident or just anybody. 2 is staff can identify an issue and really ask the chair if it's okay to put that item on the agenda. A 3rd one would be the Planning Commission gives us basically some guidance on creating a code or something along those lines. So it could come from the Planning Commission, or 4th, it could be the City Council could direct us to come up with some language for an amendment. So those are really the 4 ways: a resident, staff, planning commission, or city council.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
other questions on this slide? Planning Commission officers, this is Article 5, there's a chair, and then there's a vice chair, and then there's a secretary, which really is staff, where we act as the secretary for reports, for presentations, for minutes, those types of things. And then there's an election in June of each year for the chair and vice chair. And so next June, we'll put that up for election again to determine who runs the meetings. Duties of officers, so the chair presides, calls special meetings, signs all documents, so that includes plats and minutes, appoints all committees, and the chair is supposed to remain as nonpartisan as possible and conduct meetings in a fair manner, ensures training of Open Meetings Act in September of each year. So our training next month is specifically the Open Meetings Act, so we'll do that. The vice chair, oh, and there's a typo, sorry about that, performs the duties of the chair in an absence. Partially perfumes is a word, so it didn't pop up, so spell check. Performs the duties of the chair in an absence and shall succeed to the office until the next meeting. If something were to happen, then the vice chair would take over. Secretary shall keep the records, create reports, prepare the agenda, and perform administrative duties, so that's mostly Melanie and I that handle that.
You do a good job.
Oh,
excellent.
Article 7 is meetings. And so regular meeting dates for each year must be posted. So usually November, December, we'll bring a calendar to you and you'll approve your meeting dates for the coming year. We'll also include in that calendar really submittal deadline dates also. Any changes to the calendar must be posted 24 hours prior to the meeting schedule. We don't normally add items onto our agenda, so usually if we're making any changes, we're pulling items off the agenda. It's usually how it works. Work meetings or field trips, oops, there's another typo, sorry about that, may be called by the chair or by a quorum of the commission. So the chair can call for a field trip to go somewhere, or four members of the quorum could call for that field trip. Submission of applications must be a minimum of 21 days before the meeting. Oh, what's wrong with my spell check? Sorry about that. Either I copied and pasted and it's wrong in the official document, or I've just, for whatever reason, the spell check wasn't working today, so sorry about that. So in other words, we have a deadline, and we actually make our deadlines more than 21 days before the meeting. That would be the minimum. But we try to adopt it in the calendar that it's always the day after the Planning Commission is when our next submittal deadline is for the next month. That gives us usually a four-week cycle for us to go through and review applications. And to be honest, we have such a quantity of items going on in Midway, we need extra time if we can get it. And so that's the minimum, is 21 days. Application materials must be submitted to the Planning Commission 7 days before the meeting. So that's one thing that is in the bylaws. We've been submitting the staff reports to you really Thursday. It's not quite 7 days before. We could try to extend that to more towards Tuesday of the week before. You just have to adjust our schedule to try to. And so that's,
we would
probably do better on that one and get you, instead of 5 days, we'd get you 7 days before.
But we wouldn't read them anyway before,
right.
The day before.
But if anybody has a real issue, we could try to up that time that we send them to you. So far, it hasn't been an issue in quite a few years at 5 days. So as we get that, otherwise, we're going to continue on Thursdays.
Okay.
It's really hard at the first of the week to get a lot of this stuff done. That's when we're busiest, Monday and Tuesday. Article 8, quorum and conduct of meetings. So a quorum requires four members. When a quorum is not present, no official action may take place. So we end up just having three members here. Basically, we start the meeting. You can discuss items, but the only official action would be closing the meeting, adjournment. But there couldn't be any action taken on any items on the agenda that night. Though there could be a discussion, though. All public hearings without a quorum will be rescheduled for the next regular or special meeting. So you could, if we didn't have a quorum, we could try to schedule a special meeting in a couple of weeks, meet our noticing requirements, and meeting, or we could just wait till the next month's meeting. Each member of the planning commission shall have one vote. A vote of the majority of the quorum of the planning commission, but never less than three votes shall be required for the approval of any motion or required action before the commission. So you notice that says, never less than three votes shall be required for the approval of any motion. It is possible that you don't actually have a motion that gets approved and we have a tie vote. If that happens, then it actually goes forward to the city council as really no recommendation for denial or for approval. It just goes forward as just a tie vote. And that's what we would relay to the city council, is it was a 2-2 vote or a 3-3 vote. Voting shall be done by roll call. The chair shall be considered a member of the commission for purposes of a quorum. So that was one thing that was changed recently. It was never clear if we had four members and one was the chair, did we actually have a quorum at that point? We've made it clear that that is the case. In any meeting with only four members present, the chair shall vote. In a situation where there is a 2-2 vote tie, the item shall be sent to the city council without recommendation. That's one example. There could be a 3-3 vote, but in that case, the chair could either make or break a tie. Well, if there was a 3-2 vote, the chair could make a tie, and then the recommendation to the city council is just 3-3. If there's a 3-3 vote and the chair feels strongly to vote for approval or denial, then the chair can cast that vote at that point and then really sway that motion.
To break the tie.
So at the city council level, there can never be a tie. If there is a tie vote with the council members, then the mayor breaks that tie. But on this level, there can be a tie. So really, the only way a motion stays before the planning commission is if there is, if the quorum has at least three votes or more, a majority for a continuance. That's the only time that the item stays at this level. If there's ever a tie, it moves on. If there's a recommendation for denial, it moves on. Recommendation for approval, you'd have to have a prevailing vote for continuance for it to stay here. Quorum and conduct of meetings. Okay, so this is conflict of interest. Any member who recognizes that he or she may have a possible conflict of interest relative to a matter on the commission agenda shall disclose his or her interest publicly before the matter is heard and or as circumstances warrant. Shall recuse him or herself and leave the room during the commission deliberation and vote on that matter. So if somebody does have a conflict and they recuse themselves, then they can't stay in the room or behind the glass. They've got to leave the line of sight from the planning commissioners. And then all meetings are open to the public.
How do we define a conflict of interest? Is it monetary?
Well, that is a good question, and we may have to have Corbin here to really go over the details, but how it's been described to me over time, not just with our attorneys, but previous places where I've worked with attorneys for the county or even other cities, monetary is really a pretty clear there's a conflict. Then you get into areas where it gets a little more gray. You know, if somebody lives along a route or close to something that's proposed, is that a conflict? In most cases, it's not, because there's not a direct monetary impact. Some people could argue there is, but generally, distance isn't an indicator. Now, if it's your brother who's doing a project, you know, that could be something that somebody can continue as being in conflict, but it gets gray at that point. So I don't know if there's any real clear set of rules. As a matter of fact, I'm sure there's not a real set.
So Article 12 goes into more detail about.
Yeah, we're going to get to that one in a second.
Okay.
Well, I guess the other question too is, you are declaring that you have a conflict. You are recusing yourself from any discussion, any vote, but why do you have to leave if you then are a member of the public?
I think the thought is that you could be influencing other members of the planning commission if you're in line of sight of them. But that's just the idea behind it.
So frowning